Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Happy Being Well podcast. I actually have a really, really, really exciting guest today. And I know I always say that, but I've been meaning to have a food and cocktail, you know, expert on the show forever. And we actually have Jessie Sierra Ross, and she is a TV personality on food and cocktails, a food and cocktail TV personality. That is the correct way to say it. I didn't have my coffee this morning. And she's also a food and home entertainment blogger. So I super, super excited. I've been meaning to deliver content to you guys to have somebody talk to you about, especially with all the holidays coming. I know we just had the July 4th holiday, you know, soon we're going to have Labor Day holiday, and then there's Thanksgiving, and then there's Christmas and New Year's. And, you know, then we have just casual guests that are home just for a casual, you know, home dinner, right? So we all get stumped over ideas. Oh my God, what to make? What do I serve in terms of cocktails? And we have everybody that is, you know, different food preferences, but you know, there's always staples and we always like our desserts and, you know, and Jessie Sierra is really going to dive deep into this. And we've got pictures to showcase about what she's talking about for reference in terms of the food and cocktail ideas you guys can make at home and serve to your lovely guests. So before we dive deep with Jessie Sierra Ross, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for creative, high quality activewear, leggings, sports bras, natural organic candles, natural deodorants, bath soaps, essential oils, and much more, including crystals at happybeingwell.com. Use code podcast25 for 25% off all activewear, leggings, free shipping in the USA. Oh, and also happybeingwell.com has tons and tons of home decor, crystal serving platters, you know, to entertain your guests as well. You can serve what Sierra will be teaching us today on a nice crystal platter to get those good, happy vibes from the crystals. And they look pretty, pretty, pretty. So Jessie, so I'm so, so, so excited to have you on. I've been trying to, you know, get an expert like you on the show. And because we, you know, that is the one thing that we all get stumped on is, you know, what to prepare. You know, we've got people coming over, you know, what do we have on our tables? And so what can we start off with today? Like, you know, people are coming over to the home. And, you know, what's a great way, like, what are some ideas that people can cook up and serve to their guests?
I can absolutely touch on that. It's my passion. But first, let me thank you, Rita, for having me on your amazing podcast. It's such a pleasure. And I'm so excited to connect with your audience. I would say that, you know, first, we've gotten used to entertaining at home. We've just gone through a pandemic where our social lives have definitely not shrunk, but they've changed. They've morphed, and we're doing more entertaining at home than we were before when we were going out to restaurants, going for cocktails, going to large family events. And suddenly those sort of ideas and that workload that we typically farmed out either to professional staff, chefs, or even, you know, the great cooks in our family, you know, granny and mama and all that, we're doing it now. And I discovered, especially over the pandemic, how to streamline home entertaining so that it's a very low fuss, low stress event, but really high rewards. And it all starts with the concept, going through the list of who's coming over? Are there any dietary preferences? How many people are coming? What time of year is it? Are we celebrating a holiday? If we're not celebrating a holiday, that's a little bit more flexible. Are we going full elegant china crystal silverware? Or are we going to keep it nice and calm, cottage core, kind of mismatched dishes? You know, this is your starting point. So to create the most magical home entertaining experience and truly a food experience, this is where I love to create memories for my guests, because the food and drink they'll enjoy and then it's done. But that memory of coming over to my home, enjoying a laden table full of cocktails and dishes, that is going to stick with them forever. So I would say start off with what are you celebrating? So I'm going to take for an example, let's do Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I won't lie. I love the bountifulness of it, the fresh produce. Every year I sit down and I figure out who's coming. I usually have 12 to 16. And I know people out there are panicking, 12 to 16, but there's probably a lot of seasoned pros out there who are like, 12 to 16, that's easy peasy. But for me, it was a big deal. And decide, okay, what am I going to serve, and create a menu that is typically highlighting one to two dishes that are more complex. And then all the rest of it is flavorful, but it's not stress worthy. And that way you save your energy and really your mind as a host. So we can start from there. Do you have any questions so far?
You know, I remember, you know, when I was younger, you know, my background's Italian, and I remember my grandmother, oh my goodness, it was always like she loved to host, like that was what she lived for. So, and I remember she would tell me, you know, when it came to the holiday parties or any, whatever particular big family gathering at the home, especially the holiday ones, like Christmas, the big ones, she would always say to me, oh, you know, I would wake up the night before and I would prep my stuff and put it in the fridge, and then I pull them out and then I begin, you know, the cooking process. But everything, she would do the prep work the night before, and then she'd wake up really early in the morning and get all those. So would you like suggest that, or do you have easier ways? I would think that,
you know, It's funny, as you were speaking, I had flashbacks to when I was small and my mother waking up at the crack of dawn to get that turkey ready for Thanksgiving, or, you know, a roast for Christmas. I think there's a way to host where you can still keep that traditional warmth, that traditional feel, but elevate it and modernize it, because we live in an age with tools that our grandmothers just didn't have. So I am a big proponent of, yes, make ahead, prepare as much as you can ahead of time, but save yourself some time and some energy and use tools, culinary tools that are at our disposal. One of them is the sous vide machine. I don't know if you've ever heard of sous vide.
No.
Oh, all right. So sous vide, this is a lifesaver for any big holiday gathering, big dinner party, where you're going to be serving a large portion of protein. And it could be any protein. It can be fowl, like poultry, cuts of beef, like beef prime rib, turkey, you know, breast of turkey. You could do ham, you could do salmon in it. You could do many, many different things in it. And sous vide means water bath. So you are cooking in a water bath, and what you're going to do, and this is a very, very inexpensive but time-saving gadget, is you pretty much seal your food in a Ziploc bag, uncooked, flavored. Let's take, for example, a prime rib. So we would get our prime rib cut, make sure it's nice and cut and the fat's trimmed. We'd add some garlic, we'd add some herbs. Maybe you wanna put in some shallot in there just to, you know, bolster it, tiny bit of pepper. Then we're going to seal the bag. Or if you're feeling really fancy, you can get a vacuum sealer very, very affordably on any online store, in store. And then you place it into a large Tupperware. Again, online you can find this. Fill it with water, and you use a sous vide machine, which is a cylinder that pops into the water. It heats the water, and the best part is it maintains a constant temperature. So if you're looking for a perfectly medium rare for your beef prime rib, it will raise the temperature up to the amount that it needs to cook and keep it there. So you can prep the beef prime rib the night before, start it. It will stay at that temperature. It will never overcook. It will cook beautifully. And when you're ready, you pop it out, take it out of the bag, sear it, you're done. That is one of my number one tips for hosting dinner parties or large holiday gatherings, is to maximize your time. And for me, this means I'm maximizing my time because I'm not worrying about that big piece of protein. I've saved up oven space so I can start looking at roasting vegetables or creating delicious desserts. And it's so easy, and it's one less thing off my plate. So yes, prep ahead if you can. Casseroles can be put together the night before, then reheated or cooked fully. It depends on what you're doing. I always bake all of my desserts the night before. It's a rule in my house. It was a rule in my in-laws' house, because there's nothing like stress baking. You do not want to be doing that as the guests are arriving. Your hair's in curlers. You have, you know, flour smashed across your face. Yeah. No, get it done. Focus on the fresh plates, the fresh vegetables, the salads. If you're putting together dairy desserts, like mousses or things like that, yes, put it, make it the day of. But even a cheesecake can be made the day before. Any layer cake can be made before. Pies are perfect for making the day before. You can even, and this is one of my tips, put together a pie, unbaked, everything, double crust apple pie, put it into a container. You can use a tin container, freeze it, deep freeze it. And when you're ready to bake, you bake it the night before. You just put it in the oven. That's it. There's so many ways to do this.
That's an awesome idea. I love the freezer idea. I love, was it I can't remember
Sous vide.
sous
And
vide.
you can get a top of the line model for under $100.
Wow.
So this is a very price of, it's a great price.
Yeah, it's kind of like the crock pot, but for meat.
Absolutely. And it's a way to create those cooks that we love in a restaurant, because I will tell you, chefs in restaurants, when they're making your beef prime rib, or they're making, anything that needs the lamb, like a lamb loin or a lamb shoulder, they're using a sous vide machine, because that's the only way you can get that perfect temperature and really get those plates out the door to their customers. So you can pretend you're a professional chef at home with your sous vide machine.
Awesome. I didn't even know this gadget existed, and maybe many of the audience today doesn't know either. So you heard it here today. Go get yourself a sous vide machine.
Yes, and if you're looking for a recipe, there's one actually on my site for sous vide beef prime rib. It's all there, all the directions, and even some model re recommendations. So if you're looking for different types, which one is the best one?
Awesome. And where can they go and get that recipe? Is it at
Yeah, they can find it at straighttothehipsbaby.com. And if you just Google straight to the hips, you'll find me. I'm all over the place. It's a unique name, and I never realized it until much, much later. But yes, straighttothehipsbaby.com. And that kind of gives you an idea of how I cook and how I entertain. I am very much a believer in full-bodied flavors of butter, of sugar, of a great cocktail, because when you're entertaining, you don't want to skimp. You want to go to the fullest that you're able. And that doesn't always mean, a full feast, but it could be just high quality, beautiful ingredients prepared in a simple yet elegant way.
Awesome. And like I mentioned before, you are a TV and cocktail TV personality. So where can people actually watch you and find your show? I know you're on NBC, but I know you mentioned all these micro channels.
You know this as well, as life of a creator is never boring. You're on many, many different platforms. But yes, I can be found on several New England NBC channels. I tend to do food segments for local morning chat shows. You can find me on NBC 10, NBC Channel 22. These are my mainstays. But you can also find me on Bloom TV Network, which is a streaming TV service focusing on the beauty of flowers. And I often use flowers within my cooking, as well as my styling and decoration. And I will tell you, in my home entertaining, flowers are a main component too, because it sets the scene. You may have a beautiful table full of, china and placeholders and crystal, but those flowers, they really take it over the top.
I agree. I love flowers, especially when you're entertaining, because it's like it just brings so much ambiance to the home, and it's a good conversation piece as well. People can ask, "Oh, what are those flowers?" And maybe they're your favorite flowers, maybe there's a story behind it. Maybe your husband gives you flowers, every, Saturday. You may have a ritual around it. It's a good conversation breaker starter around it, And certain flowers have certain meanings and symbols, and they're just so pretty to look at. And most importantly, they smell beautiful, so it brings some aromatherapy to the home, and it just makes people feel more chipper, more happier. It just kind of produces that ambient feeling. Just like when we go to restaurants, some of our favorite restaurants, not only we go for the food, but we go for that ambiance. We go for, like I always appreciate the ambiance of certain restaurants and how creative the decor is. And it stimulates new ideas that you can bring into your home as well when you go.
And I think as you touch upon a really important facet of home entertaining just right then, the ambiance. And as the host, and we're talking about modern hosting, right? So we may still have courses, we may still have all of the accoutrement of the old school hosting of our great grandmothers, but One thing that we should always envision is that ambiance, and we can do that with flowers, which you can do yourself, which is really, really fun to do. You can do it with your table settings if you have a theme, or if you are just kind of playing fast and loose. The lighting of a dinner table is very important. I always like to dim my overhead lighting and use candles, even votives, and small crystal holders, tall tapers, and silver candlesticks. Even, I love doing this for Thanksgiving, I create these votives. And I put a tall votive candle in and surround it with raw cranberries.
Oh,
and it's
that's awesome.
Festive and it smells amazing. You can do the same thing with coffee, put coffee beans around that candle and as it burns for like a brunch. It's those small touches, those small details, vignettes, I like to call them. So as the guest is looking across the table, even before the meal has begun, they can see the detail, the small touches that you've put in, that sort of love that you've put in. And as you said, it creates a nice conversation starter, especially when you're bringing, say, two groups of people who don't know each other that well. You're giving them an option to touch, and it's very comfortable. And, you know, as you're serving food and drink, you always want to think, am I making my guests comfortable? I mean, that's one of the primary, you know, responsibilities of a host.
Absolutely. And I love the crystal home decor items too, because like in this day and age, everybody's getting more and more into crystals, and they're a great conversation piece. Like, this is what this crystal means, or this is the frequency it's vibrating at, you know, or, you know, it is not another, people are just so kind of interested in crystals, and they're just so pretty to look at on top of it. So like the crystal, you know, whole candle holders, which happybeingwell.com carries, we have like, you know, rose quartz, candle holders and serving platters made of crystal and in different types of crystals, and they're just gorgeous to look at, and people can talk about, you know, what the crystal does and if they use crystals or not. You know, it's a new trend in today's world, crystals.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, and I think we even have a photo of it. I created a Midsummer Night's picnic. And for that picnic, it was very flowers and fruits and prepared dishes. But I had this gorgeous agate, I think that's how you say it, platter that I use to serve my drinks on. I mean, if you're looking to create a scene, it doesn't always have to be in your dining room. I mean, we can move that scene outdoors. I had a luscious, just soft sheepskin rug out on my lawn under the shade of the trees. We could hear the robins singing, and I put out fine wines. I put out some lemonades for those who didn't want to indulge. There were fresh iced cherries. There were, you know, fresh eggplant, crispy eggplant, caprese salad. Everything was vegetarian so that we could really not worry about refrigeration as much. And people were delighted. They loved being out there. We had beautiful bright green goddess dip with fresh veggies. It was light, it was vibrant, it was very much in tune with Mother Nature. And adding those touches like the crystals or more rustic elements like woven mats, you know, it elevates what could be a very basic picnic to something that's an event. And it's something that anyone, truly anyone, can create with just a little bit of sort of pre-planning. And you'll realize it takes no time at all to really just combine these elements into something truly special.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Especially in the summertime, you know, we are going outside more into the backyard and hosting outside, you know, whether you're going to have a barbecue or you're planning, are you having a combination of barbecued items with, you know, traditional, you know, stuff, or, you know, you could actually barbecue your fish, these, you know, you can actually bring it out to the barbecue and barbecue them all actually, if you wanted. But most importantly, you know, as the sun dims down, it's so beautiful to have candles as well, you know, around and light them up. Absolutely. It's just so tranquil, and it just creates that, you know, feeling, especially if you haven't seen your friends and family in a long time, to see them and you're, you know, the candles are lighting, you have this great food, you know, and you're just kind of reconnecting. It's just so magical.
And that's what I was just about to say. It's purely a moment of magic, because as the night comes in and you have that roundness of light from candles or from a fire pit, it draws you in and it creates just the perfect scenario to reconnect and laugh over a cocktail, or, you know, indulge a little bit more in that lovely dessert. And after the years that we've had, we need that. I think our souls are really starving for that connection and that sort of connection to our community. And why not through food and drink?
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, we were locked up for almost two years. And now people are really wanting to get out there and, you know, spend time with people and, magic word, be a part of community. And I like what you said about the agate serving trays. You know, we carry those and they're absolutely gorgeous, the agate serving trays. And it's actually really gorgeous when you do serve, it's a great idea. You're putting your drinks on top of them because as you're carrying the tray and your drinks are on top of it, it does look really gorgeous as you're walking to serve your guests on those agate serving trays. And plus some of the trays have like a gold rim and it just really makes it pop. It's just
the one I have.
It just looks, yeah, we have the gold rim as well. And it just makes it look at happybeingwell.com. It makes it just look really fancy.
It's just like, you know, something out of Shakespeare. You know, you expect Oberon and Tatiana come waltzing down and have some of those cherries that you just put out. It's beautiful. It's just a way to connect with nature and beauty and friends. It's a gorgeous way to serve.
Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that you brought up the cocktails and the fact that some guests don't want to, you know, don't want alcohol. So it's always really great to have the alternative to alcohol. So mm-hmm. you mentioned lemonade, obviously water. And during the evening hours, for me, I always make sure I have herbal tea, you know, because mm-hmm. then it gets a little bit later and, you know, you don't want to have a cold drink anymore. You want something a little bit warm. So I guess iced tea would be a great alternative as well. Because I know sometimes when people, you know, I think people are kind of being more cognizant that more and more people are not drinking. So they are laying out those alternative drinks, but sometimes they forget. And so like, and they have to go and get some water, right? So it's always good to be thoughtful and to keep in mind that some people are, maybe they're designated drivers or some people are just giving up alcohol for health reasons, you know, so.
Well, this is a fascinating point. I'm so glad you brought this up because the low alcohol by volume movement or the no alcohol movement is so huge, especially in my food blogging world. And, you know, many of my cocktail recipes can be made alcohol free. And I do that with a reason because, you know, you never know who you have over. And when you have a large gathering, you don't necessarily want to be shaking up cocktails or making individual cups of tea in the background because it takes you away from the party. It takes you away from the action. So instead, I like to batch. And so you can buy these large crystal canisters that have a dispenser. And I have this cocktail on my blog. It's called the Midsummer, Basil Gin Smash. And it's lots of grapefruit juice and basil. And if you're having the alcohol version, it has gin and elderflower liqueur. And it's very floral. It's very yummy. But if you wanted, and you have to label this, if you wanted to make it alcohol free, you substitute out the alcohol and you add in a mixture of jasmine tea and green tea. And it still brings that fruitiness, that floralness. It's light on the tongue and it's a refresher. And that's how I tend to serve my guests. I'll ask, would you like a cocktail or a refresher? And it's a really great way of making sure people feel still part of the fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. Cocktail or refresher. Yeah. I love the word refresher.
It's more elegant than like tea. you know, for me, if you say tea, I'm fine with it. But you know, it's with small changes, with small details, I mean, you can create just a fascinating and elegant party that, again, your friends and family will be talking about for years.
It's so funny when you say the word refresher, it brings up an old memory. You know, many eons ago when I was younger, I think it was, you know, I might have been somewhere, I don't know, in my early 20s, who knows, I was younger. And so I was dating an older man, and we were hosting, and I thought he invented the word refresher because I'd never heard of it before. And he was making refreshers for people that didn't want alcohol, or maybe they had enough mm-hmm. alcohol, like they hit their alcohol limit and they needed a refresher. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. That's really cool. And I really thought he invented that word.
That's okay. It was new to you, and that's what's important. No, I mean, it's just a brilliant way of offering something that's not just water. because no one wants to walk around with a water bottle necessarily at a party. Having a tall glass of something chilled and delicious and flavorful, because the beauty of drinks, whether it's a cocktail, like a hard drink or a soft beverage, you can infuse so much flavor into a cocktail, whether it be with fresh fruit juices, dried herbs, fresh herbs, even infusions of different sort of elements. I mean, I love adding little bits of salt to my cocktails because it opens up the palate, adding, you know, spices that you wouldn't normally add, at least that you wouldn't think of, such as like cardamom to a cocktail. Mm-hmm. I make I love cardamom and an apple cider together. So I have this, you know, this brandy apple sort of cocktail that has cardamom and chai spice and all these different elements. And it's a surprise for your guests. And it's like a cherry on top of any great dinner party.
Yeah, I love that. Or, you know, adding maybe some fresh mint leaves into the refresher, you know. Yeah, I love it. And if people want some of these ideas, they can go to your food blog, right, and get these recipes at the website is straighttoyourhipsbaby.com, right?
Straight to the hips. Not just your hips, all the hips. Straighttoyourhipsbaby.com. And yes, there's a whole subsection. I have, gosh, almost 100 cocktail and beverage recipes on there. And they run from seasonal to specialty to how to teach you how to make drinks at home if you're just starting off. And it's a great series where I actually collaborate with an amazing star mixologist who works for a huge beverage brand. And he's just brilliant. And we connected and collaborated to teach new cocktail makers something new and refreshing. So there's a series of three posts with three different recipes, and at the end he shares his recipe, which is delicious. But there's all sorts of, there's holiday cocktails, there's spring cocktails, there's summer refreshers on there. If you enjoy a quality beverage, please go visit. It's my passion. Cocktails are truly one of those things. I wasn't trained in it. I learned and I studied and I talked to all these amazing mixologists and really created something that was unique, and I'm very proud of it. So I love to share that with others because anyone can make an amazing cocktail at home.
Yeah, I personally haven't got into making the cocktails at home. But I enjoy them, and they're just like, you know, I just always think, oh, there's so much work, but I definitely enjoy them. But if I'm serving, yeah, of course we're going to put the work in to make the cocktails at home, do the, you know, try out different food recipes, right? Because we want to experience something new and fun with our friends and family and share that experience. And, what was I going to say? I completely lost my train of thought around, you know, had something to say. It just completely just flew away.
That's okay. We got distracted with cocktails.
Yes, cocktails. Oh, that's what I was going to say. That was a magic word. Do you have any people that, you know, for people that want ideas for cocktails that are maybe like less sugar or maybe sugar-free, do you have any recipes for that to cater to like low sugar or sugar-free?
So many of my recipes actually are very low in sugar. I have a few sugar-free, but if you were making a cocktail, it's like a mad scientist, you know, it's like playing, you're mixing, you're matching, but you're dealing with chemistry. And oftentimes sugar acts as a binder, something that softens the flavors. So even if it's a touch of simple syrup, which is the main sweetener in a cocktail, it's just sugar and water boiled together until you get a syrupy, viscous liquid, and you can add a lot of infusions and flavor into it. Even just a touch will help the mouthfeel and bring that cocktail together. But there are alternatives that you can use, particularly when you're talking about tequila drinks. You can use agave or honey if you want to go a more natural route. You can use monk fruit. I have several cocktails that you can definitely make a monk fruit simple syrup. I don't know if you're familiar with that ingredient, but my husband actually prefers that, and so his cocktails tend to be made with monk fruit simple syrup. I always have both in the fridge. So what I would do instead of necessarily seeking out recipes that don't have sugar is to either use less simple syrup or to create that monk fruit simple syrup. Because of the way flavors are layered, if you omit sugar, it's going to drastically change what the creator intended, you know, the mixologist intended you to enjoy. But I have, goodness gracious, I have April spritzes on there that do not need sugar. There's a sugar-free mojito, a vodka mojito on there that doesn't need sugar. But it's knowing when to put it in, when not. Other creators who are fantastic at this are Vance Henderson, and he deals a lot in gin. There is Wild Folklore. She is amazing. Allison, she's one of my best buddies in the cocktail world. She creates amazing cocktails. There's Nicole Leverett, and she is a photographer turned mixology master. And you can find her at Stay in Focus on Instagram or online. So, and what's interesting is that more and more women are coming up in the mixology field. Mm-hmm. So I just named three people and two of them were women. It's really fun to see others come up, but they're all creating, Vance, Allison, Nicole, they're creating rounded cocktails, delicate cocktails, but all cocktails that you can make at home. So this is my crew. These are the people I take inspiration from, and talk to, cocktails, and, you know, we send text messages to each other, showing our newest like cocktail glasses. We geek out. You know, some people send pictures of cars or like, here's my dog. I'm like, look at this bottle of gin. I think I'll name it Herbie.
Well, you know, as we're going through this conversation, I'm like visualizing these cocktails. It's and like what you can do with them. It's making me want to make a cocktail. Like you make it sound so fun, you know, and it is.
Yeah. It is. And it's so easy. I'll give you a hint. All you need. You need a base spirit, tequila, gin, vodka, whiskey. Then you need a liqueur, which is something that's a little bit more sweet. This is something like elderflower liqueur or what other ones? April, Campari, then fresh fruit juices, a little simple syrup, a little soda, you're done. That's mm-hmm. It's honestly what it is. It's all about ratios. Mm-hmm. And if you have a recipe, and particularly from creators like the ones I mentioned, or if you find on my site, we are very clear in the ratios and the measurements. And that is where kind of the, what is it? The tire meets the road. You know, that's where mixologists in a bar setting, they have it memorized and they have it by pour. And it can seem very intimidating, but when you have measurements, you can totally reproduce anything that we create.
Awesome. And it really is about ratios, even when you're cooking. I mean, it really mm-hmm. is about the ratio that you use, like what the ratio of the ingredients, the magic is in the ratio. I mean, I think with anything that we created, I think the magic is always in the ratio. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the fun of creating something is just figuring out that secret sauce, that secret formula, that secret, you know, that makes it all work. And, you know, what to put it in it, how much, you know, and we have some photos that we're going to go through that Jesse Sierra had sent over, and I have never shared my screen before during a podcast. So this is going to be a first, guys. So we have some visuals. So I'm going to share the screen and Jesse is going to explain what we're seeing on the screen. So let me pull up. Okay.
So fun.
I know, this is super fun. So this is a cocktail. It looks so pretty.
This is a cocktail. So remember I talked about that midsummer solstice picnic outside? This is what I served. This is a solstice grapefruit basil smash that you can make either with gin and elderflower liqueur, or you can omit it and add jasmine tea and green tea. And all these photos that you will be seeing were taken by myself and my husband. We work as a creative team. They were developed in-house, styled in-house. And you can see a little bit about, well, rather my aesthetic. I love light and bright. I want to transport you somewhere to, you know, on the French coast. And with these lush floral accents, I want to stimulate the senses. I want you to feel like you could reach out and grab that drink. But that drink is, you know, it's just grapefruit juice, gin, elderflower liqueur, sweetener, and some basil. That's it. Add ice and you're done. And you can elevate a very simple, even a simple sort of cranberry juice and vodka by adding, you know, accoutrement like this, like the garnish, adding edible and food safe flowers that you've grown or herbs that you picked up at the market. You can do it by the type of glassware that you're using. These are all small tips and tricks to really highlight an experience.
Awesome. Yeah, it makes me just want to grab it right now. It looks like a nice refresher, but it's got some alcohol in it.
It does, but it could also have jasmine tea and green tea. You never know.
And I love the flower touch. It looks so pretty. Okay, so mm-hmm. The next picture, we have you setting a table with the candles. Yes. And
this is my Thanksgiving setup. And this is actually my dining room at home. And I think this one was a couple of years ago, we created a very classic New England tablescape. And I love a good tablescape. I get excited about it like someone gets excited about a new movie. I go prop buying. I find, you know, here we used vintage dishes that my husband inherited from his aunt. I brought out rustic jute placemats, which are like a twine or a rope that was kind of made into a lace-like pattern. The candles are out. I wanted chunky candles. I wanted colors that were very typical of New England in the fall, which tends to be cranberry, deep green, orange, yellow, a burnt sort of umber. I wanted the table to look light, but grounded in a way so that these candlesticks, you can see these are beeswax candles from a specialty farm in our area. They're handmade. The candlesticks, the wooden, you know, they're grounding. You can't quite see in this picture. Maybe you can, I can't tell. There's a crystal candlestick because I always like adding those lighter elements, you know, as you were saying earlier about crystal, and, you know, you can do the similar things with glass or fine crystal, and it helps lighten the feel of the room. And as the sun set, we lit those candles, and I had several little votives around the table, and it became a communal experience. It became magic.
Mm-hmm. And let's look at the other picture. Ooh, we got.
So this is a classic example of easy entertaining. So the only thing that has been cooked by me on that plate is that little container of cranberry sauce. Mm-hmm. And that is an orange cinnamon cranberry sauce that I had left over from Thanksgiving. And I was entertaining the first week of December. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be easy on myself. I went local. I went to the local supermarket, picked up herbs and berries and dried fruits. Yeah, there's clementines there. And then I went to our local butcher, who's a Italian butcher. He was taught in Rome. And they have these amazing cured meats. We had prosciutto. We had these different salamis, hickory smoked bacon, smoked Italian cheeses. We have nuts there. We have little elements of acid and savoriness and sweetness. And this is just literally putting things on a plate. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong. You put a little something here, a little something there.
And you get this.
And this can feed 12 people very easily. Wow. So easy entertaining with a savory winter charcuterie board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a mixture. Yeah, the oranges and green peppers and a few fruit items.
We have some figs in there, blackberries, meats. But so with a charcuterie board, you're balancing the savory and the fatty with the acidic and the sweet. And you always want to have those sort of yin yang elements to a dish like this, because people are creating their own taste adventures, mixing and matching, and no one bite is ever going to be the same. So having this diverse sort of palette to work with, and there is all sort of a string, you know, there's a story here. It's all winter time. It's all smoky. It's all sort of heavier proteins, but lighter vegetables and fruits.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. And let's go to the next one. Ooh, another pretty cocktail.
Thank you. This is one of my favorites, and it's actually one of the first photos where our light and bright style kind of crystallized. It suddenly became there, and everything that I saw in my mind happened. I was able to execute. And as a creator, that's a very fulfilling feeling. So it's light and bright, it's floral. This is the Lemon Flora Gin Sour. And a gin sour is my favorite way to introduce mixed cocktails, gin cocktails in particular, to my audience. I teach mixology classes both online and in person to large groups, and it's so fun to bring the diversity of the mixology world to people, but also to open people's minds. Because do you know what that foam is made out of?
I have no idea.
Well, here we go. So if you've ever been in a bar, uh-huh, and you've ordered a sour of any type, whether it's gin, whiskey, it's raw egg white that has been shaken,
oh,
and created. It creates this very fairy tale like foam on the top, and it's completely safe to drink. Oftentimes you use a pasteurized egg white, and it's just mind-blowing. And I bring this up to my students. I say, all right, well, this is what it is, and I can see on their face that they're like, oh my god, Ed, like, no. And you know, I can kind of hear them going ew in their head. But they do it, they trust me, and they try it, and you can see in their eyes their mind is blown, because it's beautiful and it's delicious. And if you happen to be vegan or you have an egg allergy, you can use a replacement like aquafaba, which is the liquid inside, don't laugh at me, the liquid that is found in a can of chickpeas. So you drain the chickpeas, reserve the water, and the starches and the proteins match the sort of chemistry of an egg white, and you can get the same thing. So there's something for everyone.
Awesome. Never knew that. Good to know. The next picture, and we got what it looks beautiful. What is it though? Thank I can't.
You. Oh, this is comfort food. This is, it's a chicken paprikash. So it's a Hungarian Slavic specialty. I am Ukrainian. Mm-hmm. And I grew up eating, you know, delicious full-bodied meals. And this was an ode to my family. So what you do is you take some chicken thighs, and this is a healthier version and one that's ready in under an hour. Typically traditional paprikash takes a full day. This method that I showed, which is easy, it doesn't require any special techniques or anything. It's just about layering flavor. You can get the same flavor in under an hour. In fact, I had several of my Hungarian friends come over to try it, and I said, no, this is not as good as my mother's, but it's pretty dang good. So what you do is you fry mm-hmm. chicken, and you season it with smoked paprika, which is a lightly spiced version of paprika. There's three different types. There's sweet, regular, spicy, and then we have the smoked, very simple garlic and onions and shallot. And then you treat the sauce with paprika, and you know, you stir in stock, and it gets so unctuous and beautiful. And you add sour cream to it, and then you lay it over beautiful creamy mashed potatoes. And it's a simple kind of homey meal, but because of the way we've created it and plated it, we can decide to elevate this traditional homey meal. So, you know, with everything with home entertaining, it's all in the aim that you're trying to achieve. If it's a weeknight dinner, you can make these same recipes and lickety split, they're on the table. But if you're serving for a dinner party, just change the plating a tad, pull out your good dishes, you have elevated that very, very simple, delicious recipe.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. And then the next one, we've got another
This is another great weeknight meal or fancy meal. This is herbed turkey meatballs that are baked in the oven, and they're full of flavor. They're moist because they've been baked versus fried, and they are layered on top of creamed celery root, which has been boiled and added with butter and cream and salt. And it's a great alternative to a polenta or a mashed potato. It's lighter, it's lower in carbs, it's actually better for you. Mm-hmm. And we created a roasted balsamic and garlic whole tomato sauce. And again, you put a bunch of little grape tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, whatever you have, olive oil, balsamic vinegar, champagne vinegar, brown sugar, some herbs, spices, salt into the oven for half an hour, done.
Awesome.
And this sort of sauce, it can be great on omelets, it can be great on toasts. I mean, my feeling towards food is to make sure that it is approachable, flavorful, and that it doesn't take too much stress from you. It should always be fulfilling, both mentally and in your tummy.
Love it. And the turkey ball, it's like a turkey ball, right?
It's a turkey meatball, yeah.
Ah, it looks delicious. And
thank you.
Love it. Okay. And I love what's around it too for the garnish. Awesome. Ooh, this looks so inviting. It's like a beautiful picnic.
This was
picnic.
The midsummer picnic.
Mm.
Yep. So as you can see, it was so easy peasy. I think the only thing that took time was that platter. And from this angle, it's a little bit hard to tell, but that platter is full of fresh fruits and veggies, snap peas, melon, grapes, also dried fruits, strawberries, crackers, blueberries, and this beautiful, vibrant green basil and yogurt dip. It's just incredible. And then just platters of fruit and flowers, chilled cherries, more melon, wine. I mean, this took really 15 minutes. We spent more time pulling out that rug than we did cooking or creating. And it was magical because we could enjoy nature. We could lounge while eating cherries and drinking wine. And when our friends came over, it was delightful. I had lemonade ready for the kids. You know, dogs were running around, children were running around, the parents were eating, everyone was talking and laughing. And that feeling when you look at your guests and you see that they are enjoying life, there's nothing better as a host.
Awesome. I love it. It looks so, the colors, there's so many vibrant colors. It just looks so pretty. Awesome. Love it with all the fruits there. Okay.
Absolutely.
Next picture.
And we eat with our eyes first.
Yeah, that's true. And we have a lovely bouquet of flowers that you're arranging.
Yep. So this is one of my passions as well, is flower arranging. And it's, you know, part and parcel with entertaining. And I love going to a store, whether it's a natural food store or local shops, grabbing the discount blossoms and then creating something special. And
that's a good idea, yeah.
You know, there's elements here, they're very basic mums. We have some orange roses, we have some filler, we have some interesting Chinese lanterns coming up for texture, we have silver dollar eucalyptus. And this was in collaboration, this post, with a friend of mine who is a lifestyle blogger. She had never arranged flowers like this before. And within 5 to 10 minutes, we had both created amazing bouquets for our centerpieces for Thanksgiving. And all it takes is that little bit of confidence and you can do anything.
You know, I never thought of that, because when you go to the grocery store these days, a lot of them do have like discounted flowers that is much cheaper than going to the flower shop. But I never thought of, you know, grabbing maybe the carnations, grabbing the white roses, the red roses, or the pink, and kind of making my own arrangement. I just never thought of doing that. But yeah, it's a great idea. Just go and grab the discount flowers and grab a different, you know, different types of flowers and make your own arrangement. That is genius. I love it.
It's fun. And it makes a great gift too, if you're going to someone else's home, if they're looking for flowers or, you know, for any of the holidays. It truly is that easy. All you have to do is just play around, see what looks good to you, get a great, you know, sharp set of shears, and you're on your way.
I love that idea. That's great. I'm going to start doing that. I just never even thought of doing that. Now you guys can do it too. When you go to the grocery store, you see those discount flowers, buy a few different types and make your own arrangement. And it looks so fun to do. And it expands your creativity. You know, totally. You expand your creativity muscles there.
It's okay. Very relaxing too. Yeah. I find I go into this very zen place.
Yes, absolutely. Very therapeutic. Oh, there they are in full force.
There they are. Yep. So we created a Thanksgiving tablescape and I brought out those jute mats again, but this time we wanted to go for a lower key Thanksgiving. This was during the height of the pandemic when we knew that we would be Zooming with a lot of our family. And so I created a Thanksgiving menu and table for five. That's how many people are in my immediate family. And I wanted to make sure that I gave my members, my community, access to a scaled down Thanksgiving that may be smaller, but it's still tapped into those core memories, those same flavors, the same festivity, the same sort of idea that we are coming together, even though we're coming together through a screen. And I created a whole menu that's tapped into that link. And this tablescape I love. We use neutral, very organic shaped tableware and dishes, beautiful, slightly more casual glassware. We had elements of nature all throughout the table. You can see a little peek in the corner. We had these beautiful Concord grapes and pears and plums, as well as little gourds and baskets and around. And it was really beautiful. And it still felt special. It didn't feel like we had lost anything. It was just different. And as a host or as anyone, you know, when we're going through times, we always want to hearken back to what's wonderful in life, enjoyment, you know, the pleasures of life. Just because things are more difficult, it doesn't mean that you don't need to tap into that. We need
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And I like the crochet table mats. It looks like it's crocheted. Yep.
But it's those jutes. It's the woven. They've been woven around and they've been pressed. Mm-hmm. And you can find these at any sort of home goods stores, even online. But they create a beautiful anchor that's a little bit more rustic than, say, the metal or china placeholders. What are they called? Chargers. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, and then we have another cocktail.
Cocktails, my love, never dies for them. This is the Spicy Thyme Grapefruit Paloma. And I love this drink. It's very reminiscent to a margarita, except for one key difference. A margarita has the same ingredients. It's usually simple syrup, a fruit juice, typically citrus and tequila and orange liqueur. Paloma is the same, except without the orange liqueur. So it's an easy drink to make. It's even easier to drink. And, you know, we garnished it with our trademark floral elements of beautiful French lavender, as well as fresh thyme. There's little bits of citrus in there. And, you know, as I'm pointing it out, you can see just how easy this is. You know, it's not difficult at all, but the whole picture, it creates something that is striking. And, you know, creating these accessible moments is just what I live for.
Awesome. I love it. Love it. And then we have, looks like dessert.
We have. Well, almost. It is actually a savory. This is a savory side dish for any fall gathering. It is a toasted sourdough stuffing with sausage and cranberry. And again, I'm from New England. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Boston. Now I live out in the Berkshire Mountains, and I wanted something rustic and full of flavor. And I'm not one to like or love soggy stuffings. I don't stuff it in the bird. I don't do any of that. But this is amazing because it's homemade sourdough, or you can buy store-bought, because no one is going to shame you on that. You tear it, you season it, you throw up a lot of butter on it because it's straight to the hips, baby. And you throw it in the oven, and then you just simply saute up some turkey breakfast sausage, cranberries, onions, carrots, celery, lots of fresh herbs, a little bit more butter, I won't lie. And then you layer it and you add some stock, bake it, and it's crunchy, it's toothsome, there's soft bits, savory bits. You take a bite of that cranberry, there's an apple thrown in there too, and it just wakes up your mouth. And this is the side dish. A lot of times stuffing doesn't get cleared from the table. This side dish at Thanksgiving is the first one to go. It's gone, flies off the plate.
Wow. Well, it kind of looks like a pie, you know?
A little bit, it does. It's like a bread pudding in a way.
Yeah.
So, and we have one of those on the blog actually too. We have a roasted squash and Chinese five spice bread pudding to go more into that sweeter savory side versus savory kind of fruity side. But yeah, I mean, with food, the experimentation, the creativity, the sort of playfulness, it's delightful. And I want more people to realize that they can come into the kitchen and do it too. You know, I'm self-taught. I had a little knowledge from my mother, you know, but if I can do this, you can do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's fun. Like, I think even if, you know, you're not a regular, you know, cook, but when you do have those moments of cooking and you're like, it's fun when you create it, right? It's like, oh, this is kind of fun. And then you finally created it and it feels awesome to, and then especially when you want to share it with your friends and family, it's such an awesome
experience. Absolutely. And it's about creating confidence. You gain more confidence the more you do it. But something I think that I know helped me, because the whole reason I started the blog was I was following other bloggers or other, you know, reading other cookbooks that didn't have great directions or great pictures. And I would do something I didn't know what it was, should look like. And the nothing was well tested. And I was frustrated because it didn't look, mine didn't look like theirs. Mm-hmm. So what we've done with Straight to the Hips Baby is we create step-by-step recipes with photographs next to them. So mm-hmm. you can see, okay, I'm making macarons, which is our very finicky but delicious French cookie. This is how the almond paste butter should look. I mean, sorry, batter should look. This is how the egg whites should look. This is how the filling, oh, that's how I pipe it. So that we can take some of the guesswork out of cooking, because as a generation, you know, we are doing all things for all people. We're working, we're raising families, we're creating community. We are, you know, established. We want to have this off time, and then we have to cook dinner. So there's limited time for us to learn those techniques and those skills. So having it all in one place, that has been a tremendous sort of point for me. And it's, I love it. And I refer back to my recipes. It's kind of ridiculous. I go to my own blog when I'm cooking dinner. I'm like, how much is that?
Well, your photos are amazing. And I do agree. Like sometimes when I go on to, like, I just Google like a recipe and they don't always have the greatest pictures, and your pictures are phenomenal. It just makes you want, like, it really does makes you want to reach out and grab it and have it. And it really does activate, you know, that sense of like inspiration in terms of wanting to create that dish, because you make it, you just make it look so lovely with, you know, what you put around it and the lighting, and the colors are popping. And so, yeah. So I highly, everybody go to straighttothehipsbaby.com to get your recipes and inspiration for food, cocktails, and home entertaining. This has been such a fabulous, fabulous conversation. I thoroughly, thoroughly loved it. I've been inspired myself to start making some cocktails and some food dishes, especially now it's summertime and we're having a lot and lot more get-togethers with family and friends and our backyards. So this is a great, great website to check out, guys, to get ideas for your entertaining needs. And Jessie Sierra makes it so easy. And, you know, you have such great ideas, especially with that gadget that you mentioned, the ceviche.
Sous vide. It's no, fun to say.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. So guys, everybody go, and do you have like an email newsletter that they can get subscribed to regularly from you?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Absolutely. So if you go to straighttothehipsbaby.com, there is a little form that you can fill out so you can stay up to date with me. But also I'm very active on social media, Instagram in particular. You can find me at straighttothehipsbaby. As well as on Clubhouse, where I run a club for food creators, food lovers, or those that are just curious, called the Food Blog School.
Awesome. Awesome. So if you're on Clubhouse, go to the Food Blog School to find her club, join her club, and go in those rooms so you can actually interact with Jessie Sierra live as if you're on a phone conversation. You know, it's one of the great things about Clubhouse. If you're not on it, I highly encourage you to get on it and, you know, be intentional with how you use it. And on Instagram, you're active on Instagram as well. And your Instagram handle is?
Straight to the Hips Baby. You can pretty much find me on any platform with that name. There's also links to those platforms via my website. So if you forget one or the other, just go to the website.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I'm sure her website is the hub for all of her links, including your TV show, right?
Yes. Awesome. Yes, absolutely. And if you're curious about Bloom TV, you can go visit them at bloomtvnetwork.com, and you can see my episodes where I focus on food and drink and home entertaining, and it's lovely. And there's so many great creators over there as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And do you have a book coming out? Because I mean, your wealth of knowledge. And I mean,
I'm working on something now. It's been, you know, it was one of those things that I was started pre-pandemic and then kind of sat on, but there's definitely something in the works as well as more TV opportunities. So we're working on that. So if you want to stay up to date with me, one of the best ways is to follow me on social media. You know, subscribe to the blog, and you know, I want to take you with me on this journey because it's been fascinating to go from being a professional ballerina, yes, a professional ballerina, to becoming a food and beverage educator and TV personality. And it's a way that I can connect to you, and I can't wait for you to connect with me because I love sharing and eating and drinking all together.
We all do, you know, we all do. And especially when we do that with friends and family, it just makes it all the more fun and merry. And also too, I have a big announcement, guys. The Happy Being Well podcast has been nominated for the People's Choice Podcast Award. So, you know, everybody, I highly encourage you, you know, if you've been inspired by this podcast, you're learning from this podcast, to go to podcastawards.com and sign up as a voter. Just enter your name, your first, last name, your email address, punch in what is the podcast that's influenced you the most. Click nominate or click subscribe or sign up on the next web page. You then scroll down on your right-hand side, look for health, the health category, then select Happy Being Well to nominate Happy Being Well for the health category. Because we're all about health on this show, you know, educating people around mental health, ways to cope and release stress, you know, activating your zen, activating your creativity, releasing trauma, spending time with friends and family, you know, having that balance in life. And what great way to spend time with friends and family is really to host these dinner parties with all these amazing ideas from Jessie Sierra Ross. And I highly encourage you to follow her. I mean, she thoroughly inspired me today. I want to make a cocktail today.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I never make cocktails, but she's been, and also I love the go out and get the discount flowers idea and make your own arrangements. Love that idea. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, if you've enjoyed this podcast, subscribe, share it out to your friends and family. And until next time, guys, enjoy your day or evening, whenever, depending upon what time of day you're listening, and sending lots of love and light. And remember, be happy being well.